Chapter 18.
Yes, I feel that, apostrophe said Mr. Pinch mildly. I said so. Apostrophe and when he had made this rejoinder, they fell into a blank silence again, which lasted until they reached home, by which time it was dark. Now, Miss Charity Pecksniff, in consideration of the inconvenience of carrying them with her in the coach, and the impossibility of preserving them by artificial means until the family's return, had set forth, in a couple of plates, the fragments of yesterday's feast, in virtue of which liberal arrangement, they had the happiness to find awaiting them in the parlor two chaotic heaps of the remains of last night's pleasure, consisting of certain filmy bits of oranges, some mummied sandwiches, various disrupted masses of the geological cake, and several entire captain's biscuits. That choice liquor in which to steep these dainties might not be wanting, the remains of the two bottles of currant wine had been poured together, and corked with a curl paper, so that every material was at hand for making quite a heavy night of it. Martin Chuzzlewit beheld these roistering preparations with infinite contempt, and stirring the fire into a blaze, to the great destruction of Mr. Pecksniff's coals, sat moodily down before it, in the most comfortable chair he could find, that he might the better squeeze himself into the small corner that was left for him. Mr. Pinch took up his position on Miss Mercy Pecksniff's stool, and setting his glass down upon the hearthrug, and putting his plate upon his knees, began to enjoy himself. If Diogenes coming to life again could have rolled himself, tub and all, into Mr. Pecksniff's parlor, and could have seen Tom Pinch as he sat on Mercy Pecksniff's stool with his plate and glass before him, he could not have faced it out, though in his surliest mood, but must have smiled good-temperedly. The perfect and entire satisfaction of Tom, his surpassing appreciation of the husky sandwiches, which crumbled in his mouth like sawdust, the unspeakable relish with which he swallowed the thin wine by drops, and smacked his lips, as though it were so rich and generous that to lose an atom of its fruity flavor were a sin, the look with which he paused sometimes, with his glass in his hand, proposing silent toasts to himself, and the anxious shade that came upon his contented face when, after wandering round the room, exulting in its uninvaded snugness, his glance encountered the dull brow of his companion. No cynic in the world, though in his hatred of its men a very griffin, could have withstood these things in Thomas Pinch. Some men would have slapped him on the back, and pledged him in a bumper of the currant wine, though it had been the sharpest vinegar eye, and liked its flavor too. Some would have seized him by his honest hand, and thanked him for the lesson that his simple nature taught them. Some would have laughed with, and others would have laughed at him, of which last class was Martin Chuzzlewit, who, unable to restrain himself, at last laughed loud and long. That's right, apostrophe said Tom, nodding approvingly. Cheer up. That's capital. Apostrophe apostrophe, at which encouragement young Martin laughed again, and said, as soon as he had breath and gravity enough, I never saw such a fellow as you are, Pinch. Apostrophe, didn't you though? Apostrophe apostrophe said Tom. Well, it's very likely you do find me strange, because I have hardly seen anything of the world, and you have seen a good deal I dare say? Apostrophe apostrophe, pretty well for my time of life, apostrophe rejoined Martin, drawing his chair still nearer to the fire, and spreading his feet out on the fender. Deuce take it, I must talk openly to somebody. I'll talk openly to you, Pinch. Apostrophe, do. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tom. I shall take it as being very friendly of you, apostrophe, I'm not in your way, am I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Martin, glancing down at Mr. Pinch, who was by this time looking at the fire over his leg. Not at all. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Tom. You must know then, to make short of a long story, apostrophe said Martin, beginning with a kind of effort, as if the revelation were not agreeable to him, that I have been bred up from childhood with great expectations, and have always been taught to believe that I should be, one day, very rich. So I should have been, But for certain brief reasons which I am going to tell you, and which have led to my being disinherited. Apostrophe, by your father? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Pinch, with open eyes. By my grandfather. I have had no parents these many years. Scarcely within my remembrance. Apostrophe, neither have I, apostrophe, said Tom, touching the young man's hand with his own, and timidly withdrawing it again. Dear me. Apostrophe, why, as to that, you know, Pinch, apostrophe, pursued the other, stirring the fire again, and speaking in his rapid, offhand way, it's all very right and proper to be fond of parents when we have them, and to bear them in remembrance after they're dead, if you have ever known anything of them. But as I never did know anything about mine personally, you know, why, I can't be expected to be very sentimental about them. And I am not, that's the truth. Apostrophe, Mr. Pinch was just then looking thoughtfully at the bars. But on his companion pausing in this place, he started, and said oh, of course, and composed himself to listen again. In a word, apostrophe, said Martin, I have been bred, and reared all my life by this grandfather, of whom I have just spoken. Now, he has a great many good points, there is no doubt about that. I'll not disguise the fact from you, but he has two very great faults, which are the staple of his bad side. In the first place, he has the most confirmed obstinacy of character you ever met with in any human creature. In the second, he is most abominably selfish. Apostrophe, is he indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Tom. In those two respects, apostrophe, returned the other, there never was such a man. I have often heard from those who know, that they have been, time out of mind, the failings of our family, and I believe there's some truth in it. But I can't say of my own knowledge. All I have to do, you know, is to be very thankful that they haven't descended to me, and to be very careful that I don't contract them. Apostrophe, to be sure, apostrophe, said Mr. Pinch. Very proper. Apostrophe, well, sir, apostrophe, resumed Martin, stirring the fire once more, and drawing his chair still closer to it, his selfishness makes him exacting, you see, and his obstinacy makes him resolute in his exactions. The consequence is that he has always exacted a great deal from me in the way of respect, and submission, and self-denial when his wishes were in question, and so forth. I have borne a great deal from him, because I have been under obligations to him.
If one can ever be said to be under obligations to one's own grandfather,
and because I have been really attached to him, but we have had a great many quarrels for all that, for I could not accommodate myself to his ways very often, not out of the least reference to myself, you understand, but because apostrophe he stammered here, and was rather at a loss. Mr. Pinch being about the worst man in the world, to help anybody out of a difficulty of this sort, said nothing. Well, as you understand me, apostrophe, resumed Martin, quickly, I needn't hunt for the precise expression I want. Now I come to the cream of my story, and the occasion of my being here. I am in love, Pinch. Apostrophe, Mr. Pinch looked up into his face with increased interest. I say I am in love. I am in love with one of the most beautiful girls the sun ever shone upon. But she is wholly and entirely dependent upon the pleasure of my grandfather, and if he were to know that she favored my passion, she would lose her home, and everything she possesses in the world. There is nothing very selfish in that love, I think. Apostrophe, apostrophe, selfish. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Tom. You have acted nobly. To love her as I am sure you do, and yet in consideration for her state of dependence, not even to disclose apostrophe, what are you talking about, Pinch? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin pettishly. Don't make yourself ridiculous, my good fellow. What do you mean by not disclosing? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I beg your pardon, apostrophe, answered Tom. I thought you meant that, or I wouldn't have said it. Apostrophe, if I didn't tell her I loved her, where would be the use of my being in love? " said Martin. "Unless to keep myself in a perpetual state of worry and vexation?"
"That's true," Tom answered.
"Well, I can guess what she said when you told her," he added, glancing at Martin's handsome face.
"Why, not exactly, Pinch," he rejoined, with a slight frown,
"because she has some girlish notions about duty and gratitude, and all the rest of it, which are rather hard to fathom, but in the main you are right. Her heart was mine, I found."
"Just what I supposed," said Tom.
"Quite natural,"
and, in his great satisfaction, he took a long sip out of his wine glass.
"Although I had conducted myself from the first with the utmost circumspection," pursued Martin, "I had not managed matters so well, but that my grandfather, who was full of jealousy and distrust, suspected me of loving her. He said nothing to her, but straightway attacked me in private, and charged me with designing to corrupt the fidelity to himself, there you observe his selfishness, of a young creature whom he had trained and educated to be his only disinterested and faithful companion, when he should have disposed of me in marriage to his heart's content. Upon that, I took fire immediately, and told him that with his good leave I would dispose of myself in marriage, and would rather not be knocked down by him, or any other auctioneer to any bidder whomsoever."
Mr. Pinch opened his eyes wider, and looked at the fire harder than he had done yet.
"You may be sure," said Martin, "that this nettled him, and that he began to be the very reverse of complimentary to myself." Interview succeeded interview. Words engendered words, as they always do, and the upshot of it was that I was to renounce her, or be renounced by him. Now you must bear in mind, Pinch, that I am not only desperately fond of her, for, though she is poor, her beauty and intellect would reflect great credit on anybody, I don't care of what pretensions who might become her husband, but that a chief ingredient in my composition is a most determined obstinacy, suggested Tom in perfect good faith. But the suggestion was not so well received as he had expected. For the young man immediately rejoined, with some irritation, "What a fellow you are, Pinch!"
"I beg your pardon," said Tom, "I thought you wanted a word."
"I didn't want that word," he rejoined. "I told you obstinacy was no part of my character, did I not? I was going to say, if you had given me leave, that a chief ingredient in my composition is a most determined firmness."
Cried Tom, screwing up his mouth, and nodding.
"Yes, yes, I see."
And being firm, pursued Martin, "of course I was not going to yield to him, or give way by, so much as the thousandth part of an inch."
No, said Tom. "On the contrary, the more he urged, the more I was determined to oppose him."
To be sure.
Said Tom.
"Very well," rejoined Martin, throwing himself back in his chair, with a careless wave of both hands, as if the subject were quite settled, and nothing more could be said about it. "There is an end of the matter, and here am I."
Mr. Pinch sat staring at the fire for some minutes with a puzzled look, such as he might have assumed if some uncommonly difficult conundrum had been proposed, which he found it impossible to guess. At length he said,
"Pecksniff, of course, you had known before?"
"Only by name."
"No, I had never seen him, for my grandfather kept, not only himself but me, aloof from all his relations. But our separation took place in a town in the adjoining country. From that place I came to Salisbury, and there I saw Pecksniff's advertisement, which I answered, having always had some natural taste, I believe, in the matters to which it referred, and thinking it might suit me.
As soon as I found it to be his, I was doubly bent on coming to him if possible, on account of his being apostrophe such an excellent man, apostrophe interposed Tom, rubbing his hands. So he is. You were quite right. Apostrophe, why, not so much on that account, if the truth must be spoken, apostrophe returned Martin, as because my grandfather has an inveterate dislike to him, and after the old man's arbitrary treatment of me, I had a natural desire to run as directly counter to all his opinions as I could. Well, as I said before, here I am. My engagement with the young lady I have been telling you about is likely to be a tolerably long one, for neither her prospects nor mine are very bright, and of course I shall not think of marrying until I am well able to do so. It would never do, you know, for me to be plunging myself into poverty and shabbiness and love in one room up three pair of stairs, and all that sort of thing. Apostrophe, to say nothing of her, apostrophe remarked Tom Pinch, in a low voice. Exactly so, apostrophe rejoined Martin, rising to warm his back, and leaning against the chimney piece. To say nothing of her. At the same time, of course it's not very hard upon her to be obliged to yield to the necessity of the case. First, because she loves me very much. And secondly, because I have sacrificed a great deal on her account, and might have done much better, you know. Apostrophe, it was a very long time before Tom said certainly. Apostrophe so long, that he might have taken a nap in the interval, but he did say it at last. Now, there is one odd coincidence connected with this love story, apostrophe said Martin, which brings it to an end. You remember what you told me last night as we were coming here, about your pretty visitor in the church? Apostrophe, apostrophe, surely I do, apostrophe said Tom, rising from his stool, and seating himself in the chair from which the other had lately risen, that he might see his face. Undoubtedly. Apostrophe, that was she. Apostrophe, I knew what you were going to say, apostrophe cried Tom, looking fixedly at him, and speaking very softly. You don't tell me so? Apostrophe, that was she, apostrophe repeated the young man. After what I have heard from Pecksniff, I have no doubt that she came and went with my grandfather. Don't you drink too much of that sour wine, or you'll have a fit of some sort, Pinch, I see. Apostrophe, it is not very wholesome, I am afraid, apostrophe said Tom, setting down the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.